Previously on the Sound of Football podcast,
they should have a graphical representation of Arsene Wenger in his shopping trolley running around.
Here we see him. Here's Arsene. He's coming back.
It's coming down here now. What's he got here? Yes, it's one Mazza. Oh no, he's lost one Mazza. There is Mikel Arteta. Here he is, Mikel Arteta. Look, will he get him? And let's go then cut obviously to some poor schmuck standing outside the Emirates attempting to doorstep Arsene Wenger on his way in or out of whatever meeting he's supposed to be in. So,
yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Chris Oakley.
How the devil are you? Welcome to episode 98 of the Sound of Football podcast. This week's show sees the three of us casting our attention towards Euro 2012 because it was only a few days ago that we had the draw for the finals. Next summer, we now know who's in which groups, and I'm sorry to say that if you were hoping that our draw that we did only about a week or two ago would actually match up exactly to UEFA's, all we can say is we tried our best, but we only got a few of the positions correct. Yeah, most of them we got wrong. But let's now look at that UEFA draw, because I suppose that's the more important one of the two. Chaps, let's begin then. We're going to sort of go through the groups, and we're going to do our best to assess the good and bad points of each team in the space of half an hour, if we can do that. Which group? Should we start with England? I suppose that'd be the polite thing to do, would it not?
Yeah,
why not?
Let's do it. Okie dokie. Okay. Well, England found themselves in Group D, which we did get right, actually, on our draw.
I'll mention it. That was one of the few ones we did get right, wasn't it?
I'll mention it no more. It'll start getting tedious after a while if we start sort of picking out our token similarities. That wasn't really the point of the exercise, I don't think. Anyway, yes, England are in the Group D with co-hosts Ukraine and also a couple of familiar foes in the shape of Sweden and France. Now, my view on that is that it's a winnable group. I'll go to you first, Terry, if that's all right. A winnable group, but is it going to be a case of England only perhaps getting beaten by their own weaknesses? Or which teams in the group do you see as being the ones that could pull the rug from under England's feet?
Well, the thing about this group is, although it's not terribly spectacular, it is very tough. It's a cliche, but because of the relatively small amount of teams in the European Championships, they're all the teams are dangerous. Every single one of them.
It bears a very, very close resemblance to our group in Euro '92.
Of course, France and Sweden.
Because we had France and Sweden in that group, and
Denmark,
and Sweden were the hosts as well, weren't they? So it's all very. So that means Ukraine are going to win it then.
Interestingly, the winner of the tournament actually came from that same group, because if I'm right,
Denmark were the other team. Exactly. They were the other team.
This was a team of two groups of four at the time, so it was only four teams in the European Championships back then, eight teams rather. And in fact, Denmark went on to win, and England did terribly. Yes, there is a whiff of that about it. Interestingly, France are. I would suggest, although their players are probably better, they're in much the same kind of straits now as they were back in Euro 92, because they were kind of dysfunctional, weren't they? Michel Platini was their coach, and they had Jean-Pierre Papin, who was brilliant, tearing a big one in Serie A at the time for Milan. And Eric Cantona, of course, who we may know, who was a Leeds player at the time, and they were disappointing. Let's hope it's not quite like that. But obviously it's got a real Northern European flavour to it. France misfiring. Chris, you'll know more about that. In terms of England, well, I'm heartened by those two friendly results. Not so much because we won, but because there seemed to be some kind of recognition that England, don't play possession football very well, so therefore shouldn't try.
No.
And so they haven't. And I think that that's a setup that will suit them much, much better. And so I think England have got a very good chance of doing well.
I'd go along with that. I think they've got no excuse not to do well there. I think. I mean, they're up against teams that they shouldn't be afraid of at all.
No,
I think Ukraine are going to be going to pose some questions for all the teams in there playing at home.
Mm-hmm. And they've got more than a smattering of very good players.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of European experience.
Yeah,
anyway.
Donetsk and Kiev, Dynamo Kiev. Mm. You know, players there who are good, certainly good European club players.
Yeah.
But I mean, whether or not,
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's pressure maybe on them, but you know, if you follow the axiom that the host team nation does well, then, and to all intents and purposes, that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, England are going to have to go to Kiev and beat Ukraine, and they haven't done that recently.
No, I mean, like this. A lot of people haven't really given too much put too much stock in Poland and Ukraine, but I think you know you can't equate these teams with the South Africa team in the World Cup. These two are a lot better than those, and they will play very well at home. And Ukraine have been qualifying for tournaments regularly, and
less so, but they've been close.
Yeah,
and there won't be. This isn't like Austria and Switzerland.
No, this is going to be
a totally different tournament to Austria and Switzerland. Yeah. The people, apparently, the locals are going to really care about this tournament.
Yeah,
the atmosphere there are going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a brilliant tournament, actually. It's going to be a fantastic tournament. The Ukraine fans will get really behind the team, and either they will completely crumble, or they may well top that group. I think it is a tricky group because then you've got France, and we haven't even talked about Sweden, which is rude because they themselves are pretty good, mm-hmm. and many people won't reckon that England are that much better than Sweden.
Yeah.
And some would suggest that they're not.
I mean, just to jump in there, I mean there was a couple of friendly matches that England played recently, as you both know, I'm sure. One of them was against Sweden. I mean, we have to bear in mind that you can't read too much into friendly matches, of course. But I mean, from what I saw against Spain and Sweden, England looked sort of disciplined. They looked like they had the right sort of balance of players in the team. They followed out sort of tactical instructions very well. And okay, they only won both of them by 1-0. But I thought, you know, Sweden didn't in that match, bearing in mind what I just said, didn't look any great shakes. And, you know, I was kind of optimistic about England. But, I mean, that sort of brings me back to what I was saying about it being a winnable group. I'm not sort of suggesting, certainly for a moment, that England will walk it. But I'm certainly not being dismissive of Sweden and Ukraine either. I think Ukraine, with that factor of home support, will be key. But I do wonder about Sweden. They seem to have kind of arrived in the finals for next year, not looking like the most dynamic of outfits, but is that being a bit harsh, possibly?
From what we know, Zlatan, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. Yeah. I look at the whole thing, and I think if you would be disappointed if England didn't qualify out of that group, really.
Yeah.
But all of those teams in there will think they can get out of that group.
Yeah, that's
makes it quite open.
That's
the
real crux, isn't it? Yeah. And I think it's going to make for a very entertaining group. Well, you hope so, anyway. Unless the games just grind out into awful draws, and you end up with all the teams on 2 points going into the.
It may be more dramatic than entertaining.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some fun and games on the last round of fixtures.
Yeah.
You think it might be rigged or something?
No, I mean, just proper fun and games.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, not actual like
play
like
Twister
nonsense.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know. it'll be like weather break time. You know. So.
I mean, just looking through
last day of term and all that.
Last day of term. try and play Escape from Cold. It's in 20 minutes.
Ah dear, I do remember once bringing in my Family Fortunes game into school. I don't quite know. Well, indeed.
Just so you could do the noise, couldn't you?
did the Family Fortunes game used to have? Please tell me it had a little electronic buzzer.
No.
Oh, that's half the fun, though, Terry. No, that's half the fun.
You did your own Mr. Babbage noise.
Yeah.
You just had to digest your own body weight in baked beans before you went to school in order to kind of do that.
I never played Escape from Colditz, though, which I find devastating.
Oh, no, you see, it's rubbish. Yeah, absolutely rubbish.
Okay, all right, well, I feel a lot better now. I'm now undevastated. I'm devastated. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. No, anyway, I was just going to throw in the fact that, of course, Ukraine played Germany in their last friendly match, a 3-3 draw that was. Did you see any of that, Terry? And
I think it was it 3-3 or 2-2?
3-3?
It was an experimental setup by Germany. And,
right.
I would not wish to put too much. It was indeed 3-3. My apologies for doubting you, Chris. because Germany had to come back to salvage that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent out an entirely experimental first half formation, which they'd never played before.
Right.
And with hilarious consequences, which I'm assuming was probably some kind of backup plan for Yogi Löw, because he was just thinking ahead, you know, like these
Germans do.
Managers have a tendency to do, indeed.
Looking at the old fixtures then, England have got France first. There's no point in trying to work out, you know, is that an easy game or a tough game to start with? Because we've just sort of said, essentially, it's a very balanced group. But
unfortunately, we got 2 5 o'clock kickoffs on Monday and Friday, so we have to knock off work early.
We're going to have to come back up with excuses.
What do you mean we're going to have to knock off work? Anyway.
Oh, hopefully I'll have a job by then. I really hope so, anyway. I can't get away with this for long, can I?
Sure you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably.
It's all right. We won't...
We'll tell you when you start to smell.
It's when I come on and like record a couple of like begging bumpers on the podcast. So, got any spare change?
There now follows an appeal on behalf of Graham Sibley.
As long as you declare your earnings to the Dole office, then you'll be fine. Anyway, let's move on before we expose any further benefit fraud.
You're committing benefit fraud.
Sorry, listeners, we're moving away from what we're supposed to be talking about.
Come on.
Well, let's turn our attention to Ireland then, because Ireland's qualification was fantastic. It was great to see. Nice to see Ireland back in the finals of a major football competition. Unfortunately, yet again, they got an absolutely awful draw, and probably more awful than any draw they could even have hoped for, in that they got Spain and Italy in Group C, along with Croatia as well. I mean, dear me, I mean, they talk about the luck of the Irish. I mean, I think that's sort of starting to turn on its head now, that whole thing, isn't it, really? I mean, good grief. I mean, France in the World Cup playoff they had, and then they've just had, was it Spain, I think? I don't know. So I think they're going to be there just to enjoy the crack, to coin a phrase.
This is an interesting group for England, because if England get through their group, they'll be playing a team from this group in the quarterfinals.
People are predicting Italy, to put it bluntly.
But, yeah, I think that's assuming that England win the group and Italy finish second behind Spain, I suppose. But it could easily be Spain, couldn't it, really?
We think
how tight the group's going to be.
You would think Spain will fear no one and won't be too fussed where they finish in that group.
But the first game in the group is Spain-Italy, and that's the tastiest tie in the group. On good Sunday early evening viewing.
Ireland get Croatia, get the easy one out of the way first. Ha ha ha.
Well, Croatia are not good though, are they? I heard that the game against Greece was one of the worst games that we've ever played. ever. I might be exaggerating. Since records began, yeah. So, I mean, they're not that good themselves, but it's scant consolation. I mean, Italy have had a good qualifying and, you know, will be anxious to make up for their disappointing World Cup 2010 and Euro 2008, where they were not very good as well. And everything seems to be going quite well for them. So that really is a nasty group. It's hard to see beyond Italy and Spain.
Would either of you like to label this group? And we've had the group of craziness and stuff like that in the past. I mean, any want to coin any phrases now, and then we can move on.
I think Italy will have a better tournament this time around, and I think a lot of it is going to depend on what happens in that first game. I can see that finishing 0-0 first game.
Could be a cagey one, couldn't it?
In the group. Which really will open it up a bit. You know, especially if Ireland get to beat Croatia, and then they're top of the group for after the
to
first
put the
round.
Pressure on.
I don't think it's completely beyond the realms of possibility of Ireland beating Croatia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just going to come out and say that right now.
Yeah.
So, you're right, Graham. They could be top of the group after the first round of things.
Yeah, and
then you know, everyone else has got it all to do.
Yeah, who knows after that?
Well, the other things to consider are Trapattoni playing against and taking his team against Italy. That's the last game of the group. I mean, if we assume Spain will beat Croatia, which is a big assumption, but well, no, I think it's a big assumption at all. I think that's fair. Ireland could well upset Italy. I can see Ireland doing a bit of a Scotland.
Yeah,
and maybe beating Italy, but not beating them by the requisite amount of goals.
That would be cruel.
A fate worse than death.
Scotland 78 or something like that, which would be highly amusing.
I'm not laughing.
Ball, and then suddenly they'll be demanding an extra place in the second round. Or something like that.
They'll be the Knights quarterfinalists.
Ah, dear, we're not laughing at you, really, Scots. Honest?
No, not. Or the Irish.
No, indeed. Just going back to the earlier point, though, I mean, I think I remember reading an article in The Guardian just the other day which talked about the importance of England to finish top of their group if possible. Because, of course, in the World Cup last year, they finished second in the group and then ended up with Germany in the next round. So it's that whole thing of getting, you know, logically a more difficult team in the next round.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's a lot of bunk, isn't it? It's like this whole group of death thing. I mean, if you're going to go to tournaments, you want to go, and you're going to have to go and beat good teams. But no, well, I mean, like, you know, I suppose it would be nice if you managed to sneak your way to the finals, wouldn't it? But eventually, you're going to come against someone really, really good.
Mm.
Yeah, it's particularly,
and if you're crap, then you're going to get beaten.
Yeah, I mean, possibly the only genuinely weak team in this whole tournament is the Czech Republic.
Mm.
And I haven't actually seen them play. I'm only going by what people say. I reckon they're rubbish because they were in Scotland's group. But I think that's actually being probably unkind to the Scots.
Yeah,
You know, we're always well known for sticking up for the Scots.
No, I'm sticking it to the Scots.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. God, too big.
It's easily done.
They're all, as I said before, they're all dangerous opponents. I mean, it's not, you know, there are no easy games.
I must have, because when the draw was going on TV, I think predictably somebody said something like, "Oh well, you know, if England get drawn out into Spain's group, wow, you know, we want to be playing Spain at the end." And I thought, well, actually, if you got Spain in your group. And then you beat them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that send out a message to all the other teams? I mean, that could actually work quite well.
Was that someone on Twitter or was that someone on TV? I'm just thinking about the voice that you applied there.
It
sounds like a Twitter voice.
It sounds like a Twitter voice.
It doesn't sound like a TV voice. Maybe it was someone on TV reading Twitter. You know, that's always death of content, oh man, we're really, really scratching around. Let's see what someone on Twitter's saying.
On the Twitter.
Let's see.
I'll tell you
switch on the Twitter. What are they saying?
Arthur Nobody's like...
Once this podcast finishes, I'm going to go and find one of those services that, you know, you get an audio voice that reads out Twitter messages, and I'm going to be the voice of that damn website. I'll tell you that right now. That was my nerdy, annoying voice that I was doing. No one in particular.
Really? Yeah, you had to switch. Thanks for clarifying.
Anyway, yes,
we should
on.
Look at Group B because it really is the tastiest group of them all and we haven't talked about it yet.
Well, I was going to suggest we do Group A first so that we finish on a high because Group A gets a bit
of that's fine.
So finish with a flourish, eh?
Good. Have you mixed up the script again?
What script? Oh, yes, I have. Sorry.
Script?
Go and get some papers to rustle.
Hang on. Two moments.
Right, Group A.
Group A, regarded by many as being perhaps the most disappointing from the neutral's point of view in terms of, you know, conjuring up enthusiasm and excitement, but that's perhaps a little harsh as well because you've got the co-hosts Poland there. Again, same deal, probably very fervent, very enthusiastic home crowd. You've got Greece, former European champions. It'd be interesting to see whether they approach this tournament in the way they did in 2004. One would suggest maybe they've moved on a bit from that. You've got Russia, arguably one of the best teams in the tournament, or at least a dark horse at the very least. And you've got Czech Republic, who we've just mentioned. So, I don't know, Poland, It's the first time we've seen Poland in a major competition for quite a while, I guess, isn't it? I'm not sure what the last one would be, and maybe we should.
2006, and they didn't do very well at all.
Oh, it's forgetting 2006. Yes, of course. Yeah, they didn't.
They
do
faced
too,
Germany, didn't they? And they got absolutely.
2008. Did they not play in 2008? Because did they not? There was not all that brouhaha with the with Leo Beenhakker with that Polish tabloid that had the shot Leo Beenhakker when and the dismembered head of Jogi Löw and Michael Ballack in each hand.
Yes,
and I mean really graphic sort of, and it must have been 2008 because it was Jogi Löw was the coach.
Yes,
so it would have been 2008.
Well, I take back my previous statement.
4 years ago.
Yes. So in that group,
Beenhakker was at Trinidad and Tobago in 2006, wasn't he? So
you two are just way ahead. I tell you, you could practically do this show on your own.
Don't say that.
Actually, we talked about this last week. We had the conclusion that we couldn't.
Slightly nervous silence.
We tried it a few weeks ago, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, I think what we'd normally do is just go down the pub, and not bother recording it.
Yeah, and no one wants to hear that conversation.
I must say, looking at Group A, I'm thinking if I need some rest days from football, I think I might choose the days that Group A are playing. I think you know it's going to be a long tournament, and I think I might dip in and out of it. But what?
My mum's birthday weekend is a Group A one.
Oh, well, thank God.
So I shall contrive to say, no, would it be all right if I came and saw you on Saturday, Mum? Because Greece and Russia and Czech Republic and Poland are all playing at the same time. There you go. Excellent. Hats off.
You've got it.
Pain in the backside whenever the international ones, because my mum's birthday's on.
I've
missed some cracking games.
Luckily enough, mostly, it's quarter-final day on my birthday. Unfortunately, that means I've seen England go out on quite a few occasions on my birthday.
It's going to be another depressing birthday, isn't it?
Your 2004 was particularly memorable, if I
remember.
Horrendously drunk around my gaff and watched England lose in a really, really heartbreaking, annoying way.
Watch Rooney get kicked apart, and then we just got absolutely hammered on wine, didn't we, I think?
We did. Urs Meyer. Who actually had a... Oh, no, I made that up about the horse's head in his bed. Okay, but it was a good idea, then.
But you were right about them being in Euro 2008. I checked that while you were chatting there, but there you are.
Okay,
fantastic. But Poland have got some useful players. I mean, we mentioned a couple, actually, just before we came on air. So, Obroniak, who's playing in Ligue 1 these days, he's a useful player. Ireneusz Jelen is a player I know from when... I don't follow French football quite as much as I used to, but I know for a fact that when I started, he was at Auxerre, and he is now at... Where is he now at? Is he at Lille, I think he is? But anyway, first-class attacker. He's had a few injury problems, but if he's playing, I tell you what, look out for Poland, because he's a terrific striker, actually. What do we know about Greece, if anything?
To quickly stay on Poland, there's Arsenal's... Chesney, isn't there? Where is Flappy Pansky? Has he moved on?
No, Flappy Pansky played. He played in the cup.
Oh, right. So there's two Arsenal goalkeepers there. You can discern for yourself whether that's a good thing.
He'll probably be playing on against Olympiacos, I would imagine, in the because we're already top
you're
of
already
the group.
There. So noted. There's 1, 2, 3 Borussia Dortmund players in that squad.
Mm.
There's Jakub Plaszczykowski. Kuba, as he is known, the somewhat wayward winger. There's Lukas Piszczek, the fullback, and of course there is Robert Lewandowski, who scored, I think, 12 or 13 goals in the Bundesliga this season, and is really blossoming just in the season leading up to the European Championship.
That's always good, isn't it?
23 years old, and signed for Dortmund a couple of seasons ago, and he's really, really turning into a really proper striker. He's replaced Barrios, basically.
So a star of the tournament,
a potential star of the tournament.
Ooh, a lot of weight put on you.
Yeah. Well, let's
Lewandowski.
Identify him,
there you go. Remember
identify him now as a potential star of the tournament, Robert Lewandowski. Big striker, centre forward, incredibly strong, very strong. But a modern centre forward, so he knows that he can't go lumbering around elbows everywhere because he's going to get sent off.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like Peter Crouch. He's very much a modern centre forward who knows how to use his upper body strength in the modern game. Apologies to fans of Peter Crouch, but that's my opinion.
No, we should hear more of it in the future, if you want my opinion.
Mm. So what about Greece? I mean, like, who do we know from there?
Got a couple of decent-ish players. They've got a guy called Socrates who plays for Werder Bremen. Don't laugh too much.
No.
But obviously, Werder Bremen's defensive record is really, really crazy. So very, very physical. And of course, there's this guy, Papadopoulos, who plays for Schalke, who is a centre-half, but also plays in the defensive midfield role. What am I saying? No, don't watch this team. They won't be any good.
They've got Gekas and Georgios Samaras up front.
Still Gekas and still Georgios Samaras. And how many tournaments has it been? It must be at least 15 tournaments since they made their debut. But I don't think they're fundamentally different in tone or style to what they were. So this could be, I mean, Russia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in the absence of James Appel, who we need badly at this point, but...
You certainly do, yes. We are stretching our European knowledge to the absolute limits here.
Russia sort of got through, as we know, some decent players and I don't know. I mean, Arshavin I'm looking at here, Pavlyuchenko, but they don't seem to be quite as credible a force as they were maybe a couple of seasons ago. They look like they've kind of gone a bit off the boil, but I don't know. What's your interpretation of Russia? Are you sort of thinking they're destined for greatness?
I think that Pavlyuchenko might be a surprise for English fans because he's very much keeping his powder dry because he's only really playing in Europa League games. He'll be stopped. I don't think he'll be doing that after that much longer because I don't know whether they're going to go through. So he'll be full of energy. Russia, of course, are playing in what they would describe as their near abroad. They'll be confident that they can, influence things and get some results here. They've got the one I know quite well is a guy called Pavel Pogrebniak, who plays for Stuttgart, but he's not that much, to be frank.
They would have probably preferred to play in the Ukraine with the much larger ethnic Russian population, it's going to seem more like being on neutral ground, being in Poland, than it would have been in Ukraine.
True, so it's not so much the near abroad, you're quite right.
Well, with time rapidly running out, I think we should just try and squeeze in Group B.
Was it worth it? I mean, this big
team. Who's in Group B again?
Yeah, it's just a load of nobodies, isn't it?
Denmark are in it, though.
Oh, Denmark, yeah. Cool. That made me sit up.
The Netherlands, Denmark, Germany and Portugal, an absolutely sensational group. Certainly one I'm looking forward to seeing. And blimey, where to start? I suppose we ought to start with Germany because that's certainly your area of expertise, chaps. So, I mean, our good friend Gary Andrews from Two Footed Tackle has been saying quite often recently that he's basically got them down as being his favourites to win Euro 2012. Personally, it's difficult to disagree with him unless you perhaps go for Spain, maybe, or a push. The Dutch, of course, are in the same group. But what is it you think, Terry, that Germany have got which could give them the advantage and could actually get them the title ahead of Spain, for instance?
Well, they've got answers pretty much in every part of the pitch. With the possible exception of their centre-backs. But technically speaking, if they've got, I think it would be Hummels, Dortmund centre-half, and Hervedes, the Schalke centre-half, the two great rival clubs, for me would be the best pairing, although they may go with Mertesacker because of his experience. Youth is on their side, but it's also perhaps working against them.
Really?
And the pressure that comes with that. Certainly at the back, as Graham's just pointed out, the oldest defender in that squad that I can think of off the top of my head would be Mertesacker, 27. Everybody else is considerably younger than that, so that could be an issue. In terms of goalkeeping, they've got Manuel Neuer. They are fine in the midfielders. I mean, Toni Kroos, Marco Reus, who is tearing up the Bundesliga, and let's not forget Mesut Özil and Sami Khedira. Not to mention, they've got Sven Bender, the defensive midfielder who's injured at the moment, plays with Borussia Dortmund. They've got Mario Götze.
So a fine range of players.
But, But again, I always stress about Goetzer. Goetzer is a phenom. Apart from the fact that he's yet to actually fully demonstrate it, his Champions League campaign has been disappointing. Like Dortmund's, it's his first campaign. His second may well be considerably more impressive. But the thing is, the European Championships is in the summer. Will he be actually ready? That's the thing that I don't know. I mean, Marco Reus is really dominating the entire Bundesliga landscape at the moment for Mönchengladbach. But will he be good enough for international level? He's only just made his debut. You know, I think that there's so many options there that it's very difficult from an outside to really think about just how good they are. Up front, however, there is Gomez and there is Klose.
And how many will they play up front?
I reckon they'll play one up front.
So it's going to be Gomez?
So, well, yes, but the trouble with that is, it's Gomez.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, he's 26 and he's much better now than he was 4 years ago.
What about Müller then?
Well, it could be Klose. I mean, he might have picked Klose. If it was going to be, I don't think it would be Müller. It could be Müller. But I suspect that where he could, I mean, and Schürrle tends to play off there. He doesn't play up front as a single striker. Yeah. Sorry, I'm beginning to ramble. I will finish soon. But I reckon for me, as your point man, it's got to be Gomez. But if he doesn't work out for Gomez, then he may well switch to closer.
I do think Schürrle's more of a plan B, though, isn't it, really? Because closer and Gomez, you know, like that's just saying, well, this one isn't working.
Plays off the striker for his club. Right. He's not so much of a front man as well. I don't think it would be an entirely And Podolski's having a shocking season, as are Cologne. So I think that there are so many questions around that. I mean, but the thing is, you look at their record; they just keep winning football matches.
Yeah, I think if everything lines up for them, you can't stop them. I don't think.
No,
well, they won 10 out of 10 today in the qualifying, I think. Is that about right?
They may have dropped a point somewhere along the line, Chris, but I can't remember. It was 10 out of 10.
I think it was 10 out of 10, yeah.
I should be sitting here saying, yeah, they're gonna win it. But, I mean, it's niggling away at me. And I've said this before. I said this, indeed, in conversation with Gary Andrews. I suggested that they may yet be, you know, the current, you know, the modern-day Orange. They may be Holland from the 1970s and 80s. Not actually win anything. But, no. I mean... you know, maybe I'm being unjustifiably nervous about for them because I follow the league so much that I'm actually being nervous and tentative about them.
Yeah, no, I think they're definitely going to. I think they're going to get out of this group.
Yeah,
and I think they're going to do well in this group. And
well, they've got to beat Holland. Well, they have got to beat Holland though. But I mean,
they don't have to beat Holland. But
they're
going to
be tough bastards, aren't they?
Well, I think it's you can't look past Germany and Holland in this group. Actually, I think that's it. Really, yeah. Even though this. I mean, it's a group of death for Portugal. That's what it is.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's strange to think of Portugal as being the kind of, you know, weak link, really, in the group, isn't it, to be quite frank? Well,
it serves them right for being so rubbish, though, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, they're a one-player team now, aren't they? Ha, ha, ha.
Conceivably, yeah. Well, there's been
this well-documented sort of change in a coaching sort of position, shall we say. They've got someone now seems to be able to kind of get the best out of the squad and certain sort of key players and stuff like that. So they may be turning a bit of a corner. There's still one or two doubts, I think, with regards to Portugal. But is it Bento, the guy who's just taken over Portugal?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, their first game is against Germany. Mm. And I think if they lose that, then that's it, really, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So that's that, and then and I think
worth Wednesday. The date for your diary is that Netherlands Germany game, the 13th of June. Wednesday, the 13th of June. It's an evening kickoff, I mean, and it's a nice in the middle of the round. It's the middle for Easter, so it's absolutely perfectly placed. That one, it's going to be
a pivotal
moment.
Really
it's going to be a pivotal game in the group, and so therefore will be a cracker. And all being well, we're in for an absolute classic.
And we could see that could actually be the eventual final. There, whoa! There,
wouldn't
I've
that be
it.
Something? We'd all enjoy that. I think we'd all enjoy that.
So yeah, dress rehearsal for the final. It could work easily.
I mean, Denmark and Portugal are in the same qualifying group, and Denmark finished top of that group. I mean, again, just going back to Germany and Holland, there much potential, do you think, for them sort of playing out a boring draw? I can't see them playing a boring draw if life depended on it.
No, not at all.
Not in the middle round. I mean, not at all, but not certainly not in the middle round, because I think that there's too much at stake. Again, Denmark and Portugal, you know, will be dangerous. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. It will be foolish for them to attempt, and they don't. I mean, they hate each other, don't they? And they're not. They're just not going to. They're not going to agree to. They're not going to even consider it. No, absolutely not. That's going to be a game where both teams are going to try and win it, and no matter how hard they try, there may be a lot of violence in that game. There may be a lot of kicking up in the air. I mean, I don't mean, you know, unpleasantness. I mean,
of course, the Portugal-Netherlands game.
Now you're talking.
Listeners remember the last time these two teams came together. They'll remember that four players got into the bath early that day.
That was one of the best games of the World Cup, that was.
I just remember Deco sitting on the steps and just go... just the incredulity of his red card, and just like
wasn't the referee? Doesn't the referee had previously taken counselling because he couldn't issue red cards?
Something like that.
It was Russian, wasn't it? I can't remember the chap's name. I can't remember his nationality. But he had taken some kind of, I don't know, course to help his confidence, because he didn't have the courage to issue red cards. Well, that's how it worked. Up in the stands, his counsellor was looking on, going, "Yes, good work," crying his eyes out. Was like, "Oh, my patience, he's recovered. I'll get tenure."
Very quickly, I mean, Denmark. Not sure quite what to expect from them. They tend to kind of suddenly pull up a bit short when they get to finals, apart with the exception, of course, of Euro 92, as mentioned before. But be nice to see them do well, but I don't see it happening in this specific group. I'm sorry to say, happy to be proven wrong. Anyone want to add anything to that?
I think we've exhausted this subject, haven't we? Burden the listeners long enough, 36 well, minutes.
Fair enough, then. Time we were off, then. So there it is. That's our kind of whistle-stop guide. And, of course, just before the tournament starts, you can bank on us giving you perhaps a bit more detail and giving you more thorough thoughts on what we foresee happening. But you'll have to wait until next, was it June, I think, next June?
Yeah, and it certainly won't be a rehash of this half hour.
No.
We won't at all.
We're not going to just repeat this podcast.
No.
A bit closer to the time as an official preview.
Yeah, we might actually do some research.
Must we?
Chance be fun.
Speak for yourself. I thought you should be working by then.
That's true.
Ah, dear. Anyway, there we are. I hope you enjoyed that. Do join us again for another Sound of Football podcast next week. All the details coming up, as ever, where you can contact us should you wish to do so. But that's all for now. Thanks for your company. From the three of us, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Bye.
The Sound of Football can be contacted via our website footballfairground.com/soundoffootball, or through Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball, or on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball.